Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The U.S. Market Update with Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to the U.S. Markets Wrap. I'm Sean Cheong. Today marks the third straight session where stocks opened higher but faded as the day wore on. The S&P 500 dropped for a fourth consecutive session as Nvidia and other struggling technology names put downward pressure on the market. The broad index lost nearly 0.6% to 5,022 points, while the technology-heavy Nasdaq slid 1.15% to 15,683 points. Meanwhile, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by more than 0.1% to 37,753 points, despite rising by nearly 238 points at its high of the day. So for more insights, we are joined by Michelle Snyder, the Chief Strategist at Market Gauge Group. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so let's first take a look at tech, which turned out to be the worst performing S&P 500 sector today, falling 1.7%, and with the big names mostly in the red. So is this a case of investors catching on to the fact that there are other parts of the market that are doing well?
Well, there's a certain number of factors we can attribute to this. One is that it was getting very rich in terms of the entire market, and the market was very much in anticipation of any hope on a June rate cut. And so I think what happened was it started to snowball that the rate cut wasn't necessarily coming as people anticipated, that the market was hovering around a very strong technical resistance level at that 5,200. And so you're starting to see liquidation come in. And of course, what happens in those situations is they tend to feed on themselves. But corrections are to be expected. And whether or not some people were caught by surprise, I think that a lot of institutional selling was coming into the market. So it's not surprising to see that we are here. And it's 5,000 in the S&P 500 right now. So that's not too terrible.
Okay, let's talk about growth stocks here. Is not bleeding the same as leading?
Yeah, well, there's another area that got so oversaturated, and we have earnings coming up, and it'll start with Netflix, which is not a Mag 7 stock, but still it's been a very high-performing stock over the last year. And I think, again, the expectations for just how much more growth at these levels with interest rates where they are, the dollar, which eased today but had been very strong, has spooked a lot of investors to start unraveling. And of course, geopolitical situation didn't help either with what's going on in the Middle East, even though it's been very headline sensitive. So these will be opportunities at some point, but you know, in our world, we say, do not try to catch a falling knife. I think you need to see where the dust settles a little bit and have some patience if you're interested in buying stocks like Nvidia.
Let's take a look at the gold space. Prices there have risen by more than 15% in the last 3 months as investors flock to the metal as a safe haven on the back of the ongoing wars. What would get gold to $3,000 an ounce besides the war? And how about silver?
Great questions, because that is the question everybody's asking. And essentially, right, exactly what you said is that the gold market has been rallying mainly as a flight to safety, not only just because of the war, but because of the rising government debt, the rising government spending, some fractures that people are seeing in some of the commercial real estate. Some of our housing numbers have come off. If you look at something like lumber, that has really fallen to almost recessionary levels. People don't know where to go and what is safe, so they flock to gold. But now silver is starting to play a little bit of catch-up. And there's a thing in inflation narrative, which is when you get to a real hyperinflation environment, it's because silver starts to outperform gold. If for any reason the Fed does actually lower, which I think probably will happen, or B, the war escalates, or C, the dollar drops as a result of just, you know, essentially right now, other countries starting to lower their interest rates, which will force our hand as well, then I think with an inflationary environment that gets somewhat out of control, like we've seen in spot markets like coffee and cocoa, gold could then escalate more on an inflationary move as opposed to just a geopolitical move as it's been doing.
Okay, let's take a look at rates. The Federal Reserve will eventually have to ease, even after those comments from Chair Powell have warned interest rates may have to stay higher for longer. Which are the sectors not liking the higher for longer conversation?
Well, the financial sector has certainly liked it a lot. That's why the banks have been resilient, particularly the big banks. And you also have, obviously, in the fixed income world, there's been a lot of money that has dropped into fixed income as people have been able to buy short-term interest rate bonds at 5 to 5.5%. And as a result of that, what's so interesting, too, is the consumer is also flocking more to other types of things with the CPI that came out. Personal use, when I say personal use, personal health spending has gone up even in the face of higher rates. So it's a double-edged sword, because essentially what we're saying is that the higher for longer may be good for pockets as people are making money from these short-term interest rate bonds. But at the same token, it will have a big stress on companies that have low balance sheets, poor earnings growth, and count on lower interest rates in order to perform. But we don't really know exactly what's going to happen yet. But I do agree that I think the Fed will lower the rates at this year and maybe even do it a couple of times.
Right, so at which point would you say that investors' fixed income allocations are reflecting their expectations for U.S. monetary policy?
I think that the consumer expectations now are that inflation is going to stick around, and they are anticipating higher rates. But I think that also today might have been an interesting little spin, because the long bonds, the yields actually started to fall. And Biden himself suggested last week that the interest rates might be cut a little bit. So I think the consumer expectations are generally lagging as opposed to leading. But right now, you know, people are complaining, but yet at certain pockets of the economy, prices have come down, while others, like insurance in particular, have really skyrocketed. So I think the consumer is confused, but it's an election year, and I believe still relatively optimistic out there.
Okay, and then let's end this conversation by looking at long bonds. It seems to be bottoming out. Is that going to be good for the market?
Well, again, another double-edged sword. I think the idea of long bonds softening, and particularly if mortgage rates soften to a degree, you might actually get some of the inventory that's been on new homes that have now shown big drop in the housing starts to pick up. You know, people will go back out and try to lock in cheaper mortgages. But I think it also can have a recessionary tone, because typically long bonds are a flight to safety. I mean, gold, it's been all about gold. But if it switches to long bonds, then you can say, yeah, good news that maybe some of the rates are coming down, but why? What is the Fed worried about? And I think that's really what's going to be the conversation as we go into the second half of the year.
All right. Thank you so much, Michelle, for your insights today.
Okay, thank you.
That's a great conversation there. We've been speaking with Michelle Snyder, the Chief Strategist at Market Gauge Group. Stay ahead of us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.